Good afternoon. It's 12:06 and you're listening to 89.1 FM WBOY Fort Wayne. Support for Midday Matters on WBOY is provided by Goodwill Industries of Northeast Indiana, helping people with disabilities and employment barriers find and keep jobs. Accepting donated items at 9 stores and area collection bins. Details at fwgoodwill.org. And support is also provided by Crestwoods Gallery, offering custom framing and digital printing with an expanded gallery featuring local artists. More information on the current exhibit at Crestwoods Gallery at crestwoodsgallery.com. You are listening to Midday Matters Friday Art Centric. It's 12:07, and this is during our spring fund drive where we're asking you to be the public in public radio and make a financial contribution to Midday Matters during this hour of our spring fund drive. We have a goal this hour of $1,000, and we're hoping to hear from 10 people to make that goal a reality. That happens when you call 1-800-471-9264 or go online and pledge at nipr.fm. I'm Sarah DeLea, and in the studio with me is my usual partner in crime and art centricity, Julia Meek.
Thank you, Sarah, and I'm proud to be both this week. And as you mentioned, it's day 7 of Northeast Indiana's Spring Fund Drive to celebrate this so far successful week. We have a table full of good advice here to share on the ways of wine, wine 101, you might say, and what to serve with it. And for that main course, the Journal Gazette and WBOI's Slice of Lifer Eileen Goltz is here with Jeff Armstrong of Wine Time. We're hoping for your questions and pairing quandaries this hour, so get ready to give us a call at 1-800-471-9264 or post them on our Facebook page. But first, Sarah and I would like to give you another great reason to connect with us, as she alluded at the beginning of things. This is Spring Fun Drive.
Yes, it is. And we need to hear from 10 people this hour, Julia. It's important. We're way more than halfway through. Sunday is our last day. Sunday afternoon is when we call it a quits for our spring fun drive. So we need to stay on top of these goals and hear from at least 10 people this hour of Midday Matters. And you do that by giving us a call at 1-800-471-9264 or go online to nipr.fm.
And we have a lot on our plates this edition of Midday Matters, as mentioned, and Sarah and I are working up an appetite, I know, but first, as we love to do, we each have a quick pick art tip for you to consider as this busy art-centric laden weekend approaches. And Sarah, this time I am commanding the quick pick chair, and I'm going to go first, and I'm suggesting this evening, tonight, April 26th from 7 to 11 at the Fillmore on Broadway, you can join Rockin' the Blues, which is an absolutely fantastic, it's a benefit for the Allen County Council on Aging that happens to feature the Bill Lupkin Band opening up for Billy Branch and the Sons of the Blues. This is super Chicago bluesland we're talking about. It is a $50 ticket because it is a major fundraiser, and they can assure you that it will be so very much fun. Lots of good music. I have the honor of introducing both of the bands this evening. So If our listeners are there, I hope they'll come up and say hi. And in the meantime, what's your quick pick, Sarah?
My quick pick is something I'm really excited about that's going on in Fort Wayne. Tomorrow, Saturday, that's April 27th from 10 until noon, the Catherine Casper House is actually doing something that's very cool. They've got a urban farm, and it's located at 2305, and I believe that's Slatterpur Street, Julia, I believe I pronounced that correctly. The farm will be open for tours. Everyone is invited to see their tree planting in celebration of Arbor Day and Earth Week. You can meet the farmers. You can learn how you can become a member of the farm. And they'll also be hosting a drop-in swap. Anyone who brings gardening tools, hoses, lumber, or anything can drop them off, and you can experience the farm. And again, this is part of Catherine Casper Place's Fresh Food Initiative, which provides farm management training, land supplies for refugees to grow culturally appropriate foods for themselves and for the market. Some things that they're looking for are different tools. So hose, digging posts, shovels, that kind of thing. And that's again tomorrow from 10 to noon.
What two fantastically different and yet both for wonderful, worthy causes, bits of art centricity we can offer. And in the meantime, what you can do is tell us how much you enjoy Midday Matters and if you value this kind of programming, which we know that you do because you're listening. Connect now with a phone call, 1-800-471-9264, or a pledge on our website, nipr.fm. And thank you for doing so, because consulting today's art-centric menu here on Midday Matters, it's Eileen Goltz, the slice of life herself, and Mr. Wine Time, Jeff Armstrong, with us this midday, here to discuss the ways of wine and what to serve with it. Eileen Goltz, Jeff Armstrong, welcome to Midday Matters.
Good afternoon.
Glad to be here.
Great to be here.
Getting down to culinary basics, Jeff, I'm going to ask you first. Why are folks so shy about including wine in their dining experiences?
I think it's intimidating, and it shouldn't be, and it doesn't have to be. But I think it's fear of the unknown. People are afraid they'll make a mistake and be embarrassed.
And the OMG, I've got an expert in the house. I'm going to offend them if for some reason I bring something that's less than spectacular to the table or a pour it in a glass.
Exactly. So.
Well, then how do folks overcome, much like if you fear riding a bicycle, you get on a bicycle and ride. Is that the same way with trying and tasting wines?
I think so. It's like going to the doctor. You need to find a baseline of what you like.
and then experiment a little bit.
And experiment. Go a little bit sweeter, a little bit drier, but work from where your comfort zone is and talk to someone knowledgeable, read about it, go online. There's tons of information out there.
And the price point shouldn't be your deciding factor. There are some great wines that are very inexpensive, and there's some really not so great wines that are break the bank type of expensive. But Jeff's got a great point. You need to research it. You need to talk to an expert. Go into to Wine Time, and Jeff will spend as much time as needed just sitting with you and discussing what are you going to serve, who is your audience, what is it that you're trying to accomplish with the evening, is it formal, is it more casual, what do you want to pair it with food-wise, which is where I come in, and really talk to somebody who knows or go online and check it out.
Yeah, you can go two different directions. Sometimes people pick the food and then pair the wine with mm-hmm. it. Sometimes people pick the wine, not as often, pick the wine and then pair the food to it.
Yeah. Well, and that's what's great about today's show is that anybody calling in is going to be able to pick our brains as to, oh, I've got this party coming up, or I want to entertain, or I'm thinking about getting engaged and having a party. What do you suggest? Wine? And since we've got Jeff here, I'd say let's go with the wines first, and then we can figure out what foods will go with it. And Jeff, do you have some, little tidbits of wisdom that you could give the listeners about first-time wine buying experience that isn't like a $2 bottle of Ripple that you get the first time you turn 21?
Well, I'm gonna assume that most of our audience is over 21 at this point.
Okay, yes. That have money that they're willing to donate to the cause today.
And if there's some left and they want to buy wine to pair with their meal, they can swing by. But I think most people start with sweeter wines and gravitate toward drier wines. Mm-hmm. And I think part of that's because of our Pepsi culture.
Yes.
We grew up drinking sweet liquids as kids, and mm-hmm. that's where we gravitate toward as we start on wine.
Well, could you explain to the listeners about the differences between a red wine and a white wine and a sparkling wine and what makes them that way?
Well, it's the skin of the grape mm-hmm. is where the color comes from in red wines. So many white wines are just red wines that have been skinned prior to fermentation. Mm-hmm. And rosés are wines that have had the skin introduced for, say, a day or two. So that's part of it.
Is the sweetness, from the grape itself? Are things added to the wine? Or is it something that's a natural process?
Yes.
All of the above?
All of the above.
Okay.
The longer the grapes stay in the vine, the sweeter they become, the more concentrated they become, and then there's often sugar added mm-hmm. As well. So
is that considered fortified?
Yes.
Okay.
And speaking of sweetness, and speaking as Eileen mentioned it just a few seconds ago, this is actually Spring Fun Drive, as well as a fantastically art-centric and fun-filled Friday Midday Matters. And we have a particular sweet treat for our listeners right now who would want to pledge their support of Midday Matters and perhaps of Wine and Entertaining, because Eileen has a special challenge out there backed by an offer. Why don't you tell us about that, Eileen?
Well, last fund drive was incredibly successful. I offered my catering services to anyone who would pledge $500, and we had two people who did it. And I've come to realize that people need a little bit of a different incentive to call in. So this fund drive for a pledge of $500 for as many people who want to call in and do this, if you call in and you pledge the $500, you will get my event planning services. I will day of event be there to help run whatever event it is, whether it's a dinner party, a wedding, and whatever, and I will make one spectacular dessert for that event. So it's a $500 pledge, and you've got my services as an event planner, and I'm going to bake a fabulous dessert for
you.
And
how can folks run to their phones and do that, Sarah?
1-800-471-9264 is the way that you can get that $500 premium. And we should specify for Eileen's services that she'll be providing.
And the dessert.
But the supplies and everything like that that go along with that will need to be purchased by the person that's having that kind of event. But still, I mean, $500 for Eileen's expertise on planning an event, running, timing the food, pairing the food. I mean, that is a great deal. So that's only good for this hour of Midday Matters, and that's for $500. So we need to hear from you at 1-800-471-9264 or go online to nipr.fm. And we would like to thank Tom for pledging his support during this hour of Midday Matters. Tom likes Nick Spitzer with American Roots on Monday nights and is a fan of Julia's. So thank you so much, Tom. And Marlene thanks us for having our classical station WBNI, loves to listen to classical music and listens all day. Thank you so much, Marlene, for pledging your support. Now we need to hear from you. We have a goal of $1,000 this afternoon of Midday Matters, and we need to keep the momentum going, Julia.
And yes, and thank all of our listeners who have called in their pledges of support, because you know you're the listener and listener support, and right now we want to be the wine and food savvy in the know, and that's why we have Eileen Galt and Jeff Armstrong here with us today talking about the ways of wine and pairing them with foods. And to go, let's cut to the real quick. Is there any taboo, is there any ixnay that you just absolutely would not serve or should not serve a wine with a food?
Jeff and I had this discussion a little earlier. We're both kind of sitting here smiling because I'm one of these people that you want to color outside the lines. You can serve any wine if you like it with any food. And Jeff, your response was?
Well, what I don't
so
want to be.
So diplomatic here.
What I don't want to be is not approachable. So. Yeah. First of all, I would say you can drink anything with anything you're eating. However, if you want to enhance the experience, I think a good rule of thumb is if you're having a dish from a certain country or region within the country, if you pair the wine with something that's from that area, it naturally goes better.
Yeah, I agree.
So you're going to enhance the experience.
Absolutely.
So.
But again, I'm one of these, if you want to serve a Cabernet with a chicken, go for it. But again, you had made a great point earlier about you've got to be really careful about the sauces and the seasoning. You don't want one to overpower the other. It's really a question of balance.
And absolutely.
Now, I personally, I'm a little schizophrenic when it comes to the wine choices. I like a very sweet, sparkling Moscato. That's a great wine to have at the end of a very busy day. But I'm also a big fan of a very, very dry Cabernet. So when people come in, do you find that they're looking for something one end of the spectrum or the other, or are they really all over the place?
It depends. We have a wide range of tastes and interest in customers, and if people come in early in their wine drinking education, they tend to go sweeter and then go drier progressively. But you know, it doesn't matter. Different people jump into the pool at different ends.
Are you seeing a big trend now more towards really high-end dessert wines? Because in my catering and the event planning that I'm doing, especially at weddings, I'm seeing a lot of things where there is a dessert buffet where they've got five or six different types of desserts along with a wedding cake, and they're offering a lot of different after-dinner liqueurs as well as a couple of different sparkling wines, sweet wines to enhance it.
I think with the sweet wines and dessert, you have to be careful if you're doing a in my opinion. Mm-hmm. If you're doing a brownie, a chocolate brownie, and you throw a sweet wine with that, it'll just make your teeth hum. but if you do
a fruit
with a nice, sweeter, sparkling wine, mm-hmm. then it's a great complement, great balance.
Absolutely. It's what you said earlier. It's all about balance. You don't want to have it too sweet.
Support for WBOI, this program on WBOI is provided by Indiana Tech Law School, opening in Fort Wayne, August 2013. And for more information on admissions and curriculum online, you can go to indianatech.edu/law or 855-TECH-LAW. And support is also provided by Reinbold and Anderson, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, and SIPC. Are your investments tax-wise? More information on Reinbold and Anderson on the web at reinboldandanderson.com. You are joining us during our spring fund drive, where we're asking you to be the public in public radio and pledge a vote of confidence to WBOI at 1-800-471-9264 or go online to nipr.fm. Jeff, we have a question from Facebook. Holly wants to know, she says, I read an interesting thing recently by a wine taster who says that the cost of wine has very little to do with how the wine actually tastes. She said that in her classes, time after time, the blind taste testers all chose the mid-range, about $30 per bottle wines, over the high end. That's a relief. What dry red wines do you recommend in that price range?
Well, for that much money, you can buy a lot of great wine. And I think a lot of the price of wine is driven by where it's produced. For instance, California, the property there is relatively new in compared to the rest of the world, where, for instance, in Italy, there's families that have owned wineries for five generations. They've probably paid for the property. In California, there's probably a mortgage. So they've got to charge more for the wine. So that doesn't necessarily make it better wine. It just makes it more expensive. In the $30 range for a red wine, there's all kinds of great wines from – I wouldn't even pick one. I'd come in and we'll talk about it individually. Let me see what you like. It could be Italian. It could be California. It just depends.
Again, so. On one's taste, then, is it a fine tuning taste, whether a person might like Italian versus French?
Well, I guess the overall easy thing is there's old world and new world. In a nutshell, old world tends to be more earthy. When you open the bottle, what does earthy mean? It can often smell like fresh turned soil, which can be a really good thing if you're pairing it with the right food group.
You know, I had a couple of questions from some of my readers in regards to pairings of foods with Australian and Chilean wines, and they seem to be the, when I say newcomers to the market, they've had wine there for a long time, but they seem to be coming into the American market. Have you seen a real push or a real surge in popularity for some South American or Australian wines recently?
Both of those. I think Australia got a little bit of a bad rap early on because they were bringing in boatloads of poor quality wine. However, there's tons of great wine in Australia. Mm-hmm. Chile, Argentina are producing tremendous wines, great values. Once again, the property maybe has been owned for a long time. There's a lot of influence from France and Italy in both of those countries. Very, very affordable and gets people into wine for a good price.
And I would like to remind our listeners that this is a special edition of Midday Matters as we celebrate our spring fund drive here at WBOI. We have especially tasty topics being discussed by Eileen Goltz of Slice of Life and Jeff Armstrong, Mr. Wine Time, all about the pairing of great wine and great food. And speaking of that, Sarah, how can folks get a particularly tasty premium by calling in right now?
They can call us at 1-800-471-9264. That's what Keith Huffman did. Keith, thank you so much for pledging with us this afternoon at Midday Matters. That number again, 1-800-471-9264. And Robert Jones. Robert, thank you so much for pledging your support for our spring fund drive at NIPR. We thank you so much for doing that. Remember, you can always go online and pledge that way at nipr.fm. And for folks that might just be joining the show, Eileen, let's recap the special sweet premium that you have on the table this afternoon.
For the next approximate half an hour. If you call in and or go online and donate $500, I will help you coordinate an event, whether it's a dinner party, whether it's a wedding, whether it's an engagement party, or just a fun evening with friends. I'll help you figure out what to do, what to serve, and I will create and be there that night, and then I will make one spectacular dessert of your choice for that evening. And all you need to do is pick up the phone and call, pledge $500, and as many people that call in and do that, that's how many times I'll do it.
And just like fine wine, there is a $500 bottle and there is a $10 bottle, and they're all tasty. And when that translates to pledges, they are all important to us because it proves to all of us that you like and appreciate and value the kind of programming you are hearing right this very minute. And if you're not a member, then you know it's your time to become one. How do they do that, Sarah?
1-800-471-9264. You can always go online and pledge that way. And remember, you only have about the next 30 minutes to take advantage of Eileen's especially generous offer. When you pledge at $500, she will come to your house and help you coordinate an event. She will provide her expertise and make a dessert. Eileen's services are what are on the table this afternoon. Her culinary expertise as well as her event planning. So if you'd like to take advantage of that, you only have the next 30 minutes to really do that, and that's at the $500 level.
And while we have Mr. Wine Time, Jeff Armstrong here to join in the conversation with Eileen Goltz on all things wine paired with food. What about the beer drinker? Earlier you mentioned the non-expert of wine going for sweet, but what about the beer drinker who might tell you he or she does not like wine?
Well, there's a lot of great beer out there as well, and it pairs...
But they're wrong. They're just wrong.
It pairs with food just like wine does. I don't know quite as much about that, but I've been to some beer dinners. And it's incredible. Once again, pairing the right beer with the right food can really enhance the experience.
How might you coax them into becoming wine drinkers?
Well, the way I do it at the shop is I have a wine club. So every month, it's two bottles of wine, one red, one white, and recipes that pair with that wine. And information on the winery, information on the wine maker, the region it's from, the history of the area. And that's a different theme every year, or a different theme every month. And the beauty of having a little shop, I'm not locked into one winery. So we were talking earlier, last March, I picked wines from Israel, and people were a little apprehensive. Really, wine from Israel? And you know,
there's some fabulous ones from Israel, right? And they've won awards, and many of them are kosher, and they're great wines that just happen to be kosher, not kosher wines. And,
exactly.
And it's much the same with some of the newer and more boutique wineries. They're young winemakers or vintners who are experimenting and really pushing the envelope with what kind of flavors and how they're creating either varietal wines or single grape wines.
Right. It's a lot of fun to look at a particular varietal, mm-hmm. and try it in its country of origin, mm-hmm. and maybe its newer country, like you were mentioning.
Explain what a varietal is, because I'll bet there are a few people out there who don't know.
Well, it's the type of grape. For instance, Riesling. Riesling originates in Germany. However, there's some great Rieslings, as you mentioned earlier, in Australia. Mm-hmm. Australia has a great reputation for Rieslings as well. So it's kind of fun to compare the different styles from the different countries
same grape. Yeah, same grape, yeah. Different soils, different climates, and the wines are wildly different, yet it's the same. And that's a fun when you're having four or five different types of the same wine grown in different places and you got a bunch of friends who are open to trying it. That's a great evening.
Yeah, Syrah, Shiraz, mm-hmm. Syrah, Petite Syrah. Syrah and Shiraz, different grapes, or same grape, different countries, mm-hmm. different spelling. Petite Syrah, you'd think maybe a smaller flavor, no. Maybe a smaller grape, no. Bigger, bolder. That's part of the confusing thing.
But the fun of discovering.
Yeah, exactly. That's part of the intimidating factor of mm-hmm. wine is things don't necessarily make sense. But
So when you're invited over, What do people say? Do they say, bring the wine, or do they say, I've got wine, and you figure it out when you get here?
I usually end up bringing the wine, which I'm more than happy to do as long as someone else is cooking. And and I try not to be nosy or intrusive about what they're serving or how they're preparing it, but if I ask that, I can do a better job of bringing wines.
And speaking of someone else doing the cooking or helping with it, Sarah and I would like to remind all of our listeners this edition of Midday Matters that because we are fundraising as part of the spring fund drive, a phone call with your pledge of support at a generous level of $500 would put you into the premium range where Eileen Goltz would help you coordinate your very own event and provide a very special dessert.
Yep, that's for the $500 level. Eileen has very generously offered her culinary services for an event, maybe an engagement, maybe a birthday party, maybe an anniversary party. She will help you coordinate. She will help you plan. She will also help cook a special dessert at the end of the night. So that's for a pledge of $500. Of course, we are happy to have your pledge at any level, whether it's at the $89 level for the NIPR member card, or maybe it's to become a sustaining member where you pledge $5 or $10 a month, and that adds up to $60 or $120, and we really appreciate those pledges as well. We do need to hear from about four more folks this hour of Midday Matters, so get on the phone at 1-800-471-9264 or go online to nipr.fm.
We know that folks out there like to entertain and have a good time, and just as we are discussing entertaining on a shoestring, entertaining on a huge budget, it is the point that you are entertaining and that you're sharing with your friends, and that's something that we feel very strongly about right here at WBOI and Northeast Indiana Public Radio during Fund Drive by calling 1-800-471-9264 and pledging your support if you have not. It is your entry into, the WBOI family is how we look at it, don't we, Sarah?
Yes, absolutely.
And it is just a phone call. Seemingly, it takes a few minutes of time, or you can go to our website, nipr.fm, and do the very same thing. But the point is that you have put in your word of support for all things public radio, and you are the public in public radio, but in particular for Midday Matters, Friday Midday Matters, as a matter of fact, and that's the very last day of Midday Matters during this fund drive that you can call in your pledge of support.
Mm-hmm. This is our last Friday of Midday Matters, last time to get your vote, the last Midday Matters of the fund drive. So a great time to get your vote in for local programming. If you listen to Julia and I every Friday, if you enjoy hearing the different artists and musicians and all types of creative people that we have on the program, we need to hear from you. 1-800-471-9264 or go online to nipr.fm.
And thank you so very much. In the meantime, we are doubly blessed, culinarily blessed, we could say, to be joined by Eileen Goltz of Slice of Life and Jeff Armstrong of Wine Time. Now, I have a question concerning when to serve wine. Does it matter, or is it important how you present it through a meal?
It depends on the wine. My answer is always, it depends.
He's right. Every situation can be different.
Right. I mean, there are some wines that are great to start with before the meal. In Europe, they think we're kind of barbaric because we tend to just drink wine, not necessarily with a meal. However, there's a reason they serve it with a meal. But when they come here to visit, they love the fact that they can drink more wine. So before the meal, you can get started with the wine before the meal and then switch to different wines throughout the course of the dinner, and then dessert wine for dessert.
So. Well, Eileen, then, as the being on the cooking end of things, you might have an agenda for your meal, and you certainly, let's say you want to serve a gracious amount of wine. How does one start?
a tremendous amount of wine,
and tremendous. How does one start coordinating things?
Well, pairing your own menu.
It's
the best thing that I can suggest. Really, is talking with someone like Jeff, if not Jeff himself, because your menus vary. You're not serving the same thing every time. It depends on the party, depends on what mood you hope to accomplish and what you're serving. So
time of year.
Exactly. If you're going to be having a summer event, yeah, you can still serve a heavier wine or a lighter wine, but oftentimes you're going to want something a little bit lighter and sweeter just because it tends to go with the types of fresh food that you're serving. If it's the winter and you're going to be having a heartier meal, you're going to want a slightly more robust type of wine. For me, it's really about figuring out who's coming and what I'm going to be serving, and that really sort of triggers how many wines. I typically don't serve more than three types of wine at a meal, and even it's usually two. Three if it's a really fancy formal type of thing, but really it's a whiter wine with either the fish or the salad or the soup courses, and then if we get into a heavier lamb or a beef or even a chicken, it's a heavier red wine, and if it's really fancy, I'll have a dessert wine, but usually it's more after-dinner liqueurs that I'll serve with the desserts, with cheeses and wines and that sort of thing.
Once again, it goes back to balance.
Right,
exactly. Don't want to overdo the wine and have that.
Can you overdo the wine?
I've heard it's possible.
I know. Have you been there yet? I don't think I have yet. But no, you know, obviously, always in moderation. We joke a lot, but again, bottom line is you everything in moderation. You have wine to enhance, not to overwhelm. And you will always want to be drinking responsibly. I mean, I know that sounds crazy when we're sitting here talking about food, but you have to be responsible.
Another great thing is a glass of water. Have always have a yes, glass of yes. water with your glass of wine and with the meal.
We need to take a quick break for the news, but we encourage you while you hear the news and you're listening to today's program that you give us a call at 1-800-471-9264, 1-800-471-9264, or go online to nipr.fm. That's our website. No one on the phones right now, so you'll get in. It will be less than 5 minutes to take your pledge, and I bet it will be a fairly pleasant experience as well. You'll feel good, you'll get it done, and you'll know that you helped get us closer to our goal of $1,000 this hour of Midday Matters. We still need to hear from three more people within the next 22 minutes to make sure that we stay on top of that goal. And remember that we do have that special premium in play for just the next 22 minutes of Midday Matters from Eileen Goltz, our very own Slice of Life host. She has graciously offered her services of culinary expertise and planning for an event of your choosing. All the supplies will need to come from you, but Eileen will help you plan it. She will help you make a great, amazing dessert at the end of the day. She will help you pair food. It will be a wonderful experience, and that's for $500. And you only have the next 22 minutes to take advantage of that that contribution level at the $500 level. So the number again, 1-800-471-9264, or go online to nipr.fm. And thank you so much for pledging your support to Midday Matters.
On Fresh Air, you'll hear the questions you wish you could have asked to people like Tom Kenny, the voice of SpongeBob SquarePants.
Did it help to hear what your voice sounded like on helium? Did you learn something about your voice you didn't know before?
Yeah, I learned that I don't really need the helium.
Because it's pretty easy to flick that switch and go right up there.
The most interesting people in show business on Fresh Air. This afternoon at 1 here on WBOI.
Good afternoon. I'm Katie Anderson with WBOY News. Indiana legislators are set to suspend implementation of a national set of reading and math education standards and order a new round of public hearings on them. A legislative panel on Thursday discussed a compromise bill that would block the State Board of Education from having schools start using the Common Core state standards until new public hearings are conducted by the board and a special legislative committee. Republican Senator Scott Schneider of Indianapolis has pushed for the new review, saying he did not believe the benchmarks had enough public review. The Indiana Chamber of Commerce is against delaying the standards developed by state school officials from across the country. It says the standards are strong and that the legislature should leave such decisions to the Board of Education. House and Senate leaders say they've reached an agreement on the final budget. As Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports, they say it includes significant increases for education and roads funding.
Though the budget isn't expected to officially pass until late Friday, House and Senate fiscal leaders have hammered out a budget deal that includes more than $300 million in funding increases for K-12 education. House Speaker Brian Bosma says the budget goes beyond the goal of restoring education funding to pre-recession levels.
We're not only restoring to those levels, but we're adding to that for public schools, so they'll see an increase over what they saw at the highest level. This will be the most money appropriated for public schools in state history.
The budget contains $215 million per year in new roads funding. Senate Appropriations Chair Luke Kenley says he's pleased the House and the governor have bought into his roads funding plan, which also includes $200 million a year for the Major Moves 2020 Fund.
And that's part of our plan for the future idea, that it's our major arterials like I-69, I-65 north to south all the way, six lanes, I-70 east to west, those types of activities.
Bosma says he expects minor revisions to the budget before the legislature sends it to the governor Friday. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
And a proposal aimed at legalizing five fenced deer hunting preserves around Indiana has failed in this year's legislative session. Representative Matt Ubbelohr of Bloomfield said Thursday that his bid to protect the hunting preserves was blocked by the Senate. Ubbelohr says he believes the step was needed to resolve an eight-year-old lawsuit over attempts by the Indiana Department of Natural Resources to shut down the existing preserves, where hunters pay for a chance to shoot deer confined inside high fences. Senate President Pro Tem David Long says he doesn't believe the preserves offer true hunting and that the court should decide whether the preserves are legal before the legislature gets involved. Right now, it's 53 degrees and mostly cloudy in Fort Wayne. This afternoon, we'll have mostly sunny skies and a high near 62. Overnight, expect partly cloudy skies and a low of 40. Looking at your weekend, more sunshine on Saturday with a high of 66 and a 30% chance of showers tomorrow evening with a low of 49. And on Sunday, there's a 50% chance of showers and a possible thunderstorm throughout the day, otherwise cloudy with a high of 64. You're tuned to 89.1 FM WBOI. Don't forget, you can pledge your support to this station by calling 1-800-471-9264 or by going online to nipr.fm. And thanks.
Welcome back to Artcentric Midday Matters here on WBOI. You can call with any questions or comments and pledge your support at 1-800-471-9264, or you can go online to nipr.fm. You can also leave questions and comments at our Facebook page, Midday Matters, or email us, middaymatters@nipr.fm. We would like to thank Kirk, who just pledged his support to WBOI. Kirk, thank you so very much for pledging. We really do appreciate that. We need to hear from two more people to stay on top of our goal for this hour. And remember, we have a very special premium in effect at the $500 level this hour of Midday Matters. Only have about 16 minutes to take advantage of it. Eileen Goltz, our very own Slice of Life host, will be offering her culinary services to help you plan an event, and she will throw in a very special dessert, and you'll get all of her planning expertise and culinary advice, and it will be at that $500 level. So you do want to take advantage of that. Only have about 15 minutes now. 1-800-471-9264 or online at nipr.fm.
And as Sarah said, we're celebrating Northeast Indiana Public Radio's Spring Fun Drive with a mighty tasty edition of Midday Matters Art-Centric, and thank you for your support if you've made your pledge. It's the ways of wine and what to serve with it. We're exploring until 1 o'clock, experts at the table, Eileen Goltz and Jeff Armstrong of Wine Times. And we'd like to put in effect, I think, what we call it a pairing throwdown, in which our listeners would...
Bring it on.
Yeah, our listeners would bring it on. And along with your support, we are asking for your questions, your ideas for what you might like to serve, or even go the backwards way and what wine you might like to serve and what food that would go with it. Give us a call with that particular throwdown, pairing throwdown, 1-800-471-9264. And in the meantime, I'm going to ask, do you have any true confessions of pairings gone bad, either one of you, Eileen or Jeff?
Oh, I'd have to think about it. But, you know, can it ever really be bad if there's wine involved? I don't, you know, well, you don't care. It really is. No, I can't think of anything that I personally, I mean, there's been meals where the recipes have been less than stellar. And, you know, you make up for it with a really great bottle of wine. You don't really care that the food isn't that great. Truly, though, when a recipe goes bad or the bottle of wine that you open has not been properly stored or taken care of, it's not a disaster. It's not at the end of the world. It's really about the people that you're with and how you interact. It ends up becoming one of those stories that you tell over and over and over again because it was so funny. But, you know, culinary disasters and wine disasters, you drop the bottle or somehow you take your $75 bottle of wine and you pour it into the stew by accident because you just grabbed the wrong bottle, which has happened in my house. You kind of go, oh, well, it's going to be the best tasting and most expensive stew I've ever made. But actually, I have a question for Jeff. I get a lot of readers at certain times of the year. They're going to want to ask me for information or help about ice wine or I say Nouveau Beaujolais and you say Beaujolais. I can't even talk today, but you know what I'm talking about. What do you say when someone comes to you and says, oh, this, I've heard about this. What do you do? What do you say?
Well, first of all, we'll deal with ice wine. Ice wine originated in Germany, and it is hand-picked. The grapes are hand-picked after the first frost. So some years—
They keep them on the vine until after the first frost?
Yes, which makes them even more sweet. Mm-hmm. And then the freezing condenses the sugars within the grapes. Between that and the labor involved and all the cold fingers, it's very, very expensive.
And it's only available for a short period of time.
Right. And some years they don't even have vintages.
Okay.
But they also produce it in New York and Canada and Washington State, and they cryogenically freeze the grapes.
Which, cheating.
Which isn't, it's not as bad as it sounds. It sounds kind of unappetizing.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So those are some great dessert wines, however, very expensive. And then,
no, go on.
Okay. And then the Beaujolais Nouveau, as a matter of fact, you bring that up. That's a wine that's a young grape that's released about 7 weeks after it's harvested. So it's very, very young. And they have a Beaujolais Nouveau release day is the third Thursday of every November.
Mm-hmm.
Coincidentally, I have a Beaujolais Nouveau release party at Wine Time at 12:01 a.m. because I want to get a jump on it.
Yeah. Well, you know what? If it's there, it's one of those short windows where it's available. It's not an inexpensive wine, but it can't. The question that I have is it consistent every year? Are you getting the same quality every year, or is it? Yeah, sort of a surprise.
It's you never know because when I buy wines, I try them always before I bring them in, except for the Beaujolais Nouveau. That I have to pre-commit to X number of cases, so I bring it in. But I have several producers that I've worked with over the years that are pretty consistent with their quality. Mm-hmm. However, from year to year, it's a completely different wine. I always have two, mm-hmm. so we can try them and pair that with some food.
Mm-hmm.
And at 12:01 a.m., because I have this outside, people generally don't stick around long, but mm-hmm. it's a great way to kick off the Beaujolais Nouveau season. Another thing on that, because it's a very young wine, it's not made to age, you want to get rid of that pretty quickly.
Get rid of it. Does that mean drink it?
That means drink it.
We have a few questions from Facebook that I want to make sure that we get to before our show is over in 10 minutes. And so if you'd like to get your pledge of support in for Midday Matters Friday Art Centric, 1-800-471-9264. We'd like to thank Audra for pledging her support. Thank you so much for pledging. You can always go to nipr.fm. So our first question from Facebook, a listener asks, are there any local wineries you can recommend within a 100-mile radius?
Mm-hmm. Oliver Winery, it comes to mind, but I don't know if it's 100 miles, but it's not that much farther away than that. It's down near Bloomington, and it's absolutely wonderful. I happen to know the owners. I've been there, and it's not only do they have a great wine, they don't grow all of their own grapes. They do bring in many of the grapes of the wines that they create, but the location is fabulous. You can do picnics. It's just a fabulous, fabulous place to go.
There are, I believe, 60 wineries in Indiana now. And not
Who
all,
knew?
Not
well, obviously, you did.
Not well. I read that somewhere. Not all of them are within 100 miles of Fort Wayne, but the one of the newer ones is Country Heritage.
There's north, one right outside
north of Fort Wayne.
Yeah, I was going to say right outside of Fort Wayne.
2E's is opening very soon. They're in the final stages of getting labels approved, which is there's more to making wine than picking grapes.
Why don't you give us a real brief guideline for visiting a new, especially a newer winery here in the Midwest?
Okay. I would plan on at least half a day. And a fun way to do it is take a picnic. A lot of these have beautiful sites and facilities to enjoy their wine in the company of food, and just make a day of it.
Is there something that one should look for when trying different wines? Again, being right here in the Midwest and some of the newer wineries which don't have the established grapes yet?
Well, a lot of the grapes that grow well in Indiana are sweeter grapes, and most winemakers want to make other types of wine as well. So they bring in grapes. Most of them bring in grapes from other places as well. But like anything, I suggest small samples of everything they have and figure out what you like.
My question that comes to mind is, who are the people who are running these wineries and what are their credentials? I mean, obviously you talked about five generations of a family running it, and it's passed from father to son. And I know there's a lot of schools, Madison, as well as, was it Berkeley?
UC Davis.
UC Davis, where there are schools where the people who really want to learn do this. But where are the local winemakers coming from?
Well, a lot of them have done little tours of duty or tours of duty with other wineries and honed their skills there and then bring them back to Indiana. Some of them have worked for other Indiana wineries. And so that's mostly how they get to
so
Indiana.
So there's an apprenticeship that typically goes along with this.
Yeah, official or unofficial.
We have a caller on line one and a couple other questions I want to make sure we get to in the last 7 minutes of our show. Barry, welcome to Friday Art Centric.
Hello.
Hi, Barry.
Jeff?
Welcome to the program.
Thanks. I have a quick question for you. First of all, Jeff, in your store, would you ever plan on having any foods like fine, like cheeses and pâtés to go along with the wines that you're selling?
I guess, first of all, thanks for calling, Barry. I have in the past had cheeses and things like that that pair well with it. However, based on my proximity to Fresh Market, I just don't have the buying power to compete with them, and they have a great selection. So go there first and then swing by, and I'll fix you up like I always do.
You're a good man. Thanks.
Thank you, Mary, for calling.
We had two other questions from Facebook. One was for you, Jeff. With all the West Coast wineries from Oregon to California, have you ever thought of maybe doing a like Midwest guided tour to some of those areas, taking a group of people to the West Coast and doing a very expansive winery tour that way?
I'm ready to go tomorrow. I'm going to go home and pack my bags right now. Yes, I have thought about that.
I don't think that you'd have a problem getting people to go with you, judging by all the comments we're getting today. Jonathan wanted to know, what's your favorite Merlot to go with a steak? And I know just from talking to you, this is going to depend on the steak. It's going to depend on the Merlot, but like
and the seasoning.
Right. But what's your favorite?
I guess at the moment, if we're going to name names,
we are naming names.
I have one called Nickel and Nickel that I tried at Eddie Merlot's, and as painful as it is for me to pay retail for a glass of wine in a restaurant, it was so fantastic. I went back and ordered a case of it the next day. So that's the one for the moment.
Okay, great. We have about 5 minutes left in today's program, so that means you have five minutes left to pledge for that $500 level. One person has already taken advantage of that, so thank you so much for pledging at that level and getting to take advantage of Eileen's special premium, which is at the $500 level, you get Eileen's culinary skills, her event planning. She will make a special dessert at the end of the night for this event of your choosing, whether it's an engagement party, a birthday, an anniversary, and you have that at the $500 level when you pledge right now at 1-800-471-9264 or go online to nipr.fm.
And is it a valid way to try new wine to, as you're visiting restaurants, sample the wines there kind of at your whim? Or
yeah, a lot of times restaurants will have you, you know, if you think you're interested in something, they'll pour just a little bit for you to try. So you're not investing heavily with in the unknown. So
and I like what you said about it being your favorite at the moment, because it's sort of like with your kids. Whoever needs you the most at that particular moment is your favorite. But whatever you try at that particular moment, or whatever you're serving at that particular moment, that could be your favorite. I got a question for you, and when I've sort of been baffled. I don't cook a lot of lamb. Occasionally I do. But I have been having a real problem trying to get it. Usually they're fairly spicy with lamb because you need it to bring out, you know, cut the fat and bring out the flavor. Can you give me a suggestion or two? And it's not like I'm making a lamb burger. It's a, you know, a leg of lamb or lamb chops. What would you suggest?
Couple ideas.
Okay.
With a very strong flavor like lamb. Several ways to go. Syrah is a good one. It's spicy enough, full-bodied enough to stand up to the lamb, but again, not overwhelm it. Another idea might be a Cabernet Franc.
Mm-hmm.
That's a French grape. It's produced other places, but it's used primarily as a blending grape.
Right.
However, on its own, it can be a great pairing. And then a third idea would be there's a Greek grape out there called Xenomavra.
Not heard of that one.
Yeah.
But it's a Greek wine, so lamb, Greek food.
But to give you an idea, there are over 2,000 grapes grown in Italy alone to make wine. So the fact that you haven't heard of it, don't feel bad. I'm learning something new every day, and that's part of the fun of wine.
And we have another caller with a question.
We have Joel. And Joel, we just have a couple minutes left, so let's hear your question.
Hey, Jeff, this is your Glencoe neighbor from long ago.
Hi, Joel. How are you?
I'm great, man. How are you?
Good. You sound thirsty.
So I have a question for you. When my wife and I were in Germany, we just fell in love with their Riesling, but they're much drier there than they are here in the States, and we've not found a good one. Can you recommend a good Riesling that's dry?
Absolutely. There are seven different, loosely speaking, seven different degrees of sweetness in Riesling, and depending on the region, the area, and the producer. So once again, it depends on what you're having it with. Rieslings, the sweeter ones, are great with Asian foods, Indian foods, the spicier dishes. They kind of put out the fire and balance a little bit. And the German ones go with schnitzels and all different kinds of German fare. So probably the best thing to do is swing by the shop and we can go in depth on that.
Thanks for your call, Joel. We have just about 90 seconds left in today's program. So, Julia, let's give the phone number one more time.
If you would like to be a part of our successful spring fund drive here at Northeast Indiana Public Radio, connect now. A phone call at 1-800-471-9264 would delight us, or a pledge at our website, nipr.fm. And thank you so very much.
This is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studios at 89.1 HD Channel 1. And we're streaming online at nipr.fm, where you can also pledge your support to WBOY and Midday Matters during this hour. This is WBOY Fort Wayne and WBKE North Manchester, a service of Manchester University. We're supported by listeners like you. Thank you so very much. And you can keep that support coming at 1-800-471-9264. 1-800-471-9264. And you can always pledge online at nipr.fm. Thank you so very much for pledging your support to WBOI during our spring fund drive. We're coming up on 1 o'clock, and Fresh Air is up next.